the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov. Reading with some interest the story that Donald Trump asked for options to attack Iran, apparently last week, but has decided not to do it. I was trying to kind of weigh up what might be going through his mind. He's got 9 weeks, I think, left in office. And I just wonder whether he would have given consideration to what gift he would leave behind. I mean, obviously, he's not that concerned about what he might leave to the Biden administration. He's still not conceding defeat, as far as I understand. But I just wonder what he might leave behind as a gift to Israel if he decided to attack Iran in the coming weeks. I mean, we know that for him, whatever actions he takes now are theoretically of little consequence to him himself. But attacking Iran in this lame duck period, I think, would be an interesting decision. And I'm not necessarily sure that it's the right one.
Yeah, it's a fascinating one. I was trying to measure my own response when I read that, and I thought, well, I wonder if it's a good thing or a bad thing. And the truth is, I don't know. And of course, we don't know, because we don't know what the fallout of any attack could be on the one side. But on the other side, the fact is that if he did so, it certainly could have set Iran's nuclear program back. We know that they are violating every international rule at the moment around it, and no one really seems to be doing much.
No, well, no one's doing much except acknowledging that they're violating the rules. They're violating all the agreements. Everybody now seems to be in common agreement, whereas before people were not in agreement. Now everybody seems to be in agreement. Everybody's nodding that they're violating the rules, but nobody's taking action either to enforce the so-called snapback provisions. If we talk about the European partners in the to the Iranian nuclear agreement, the International Atomic Energy Agency certainly is not doing very much at all, other than agreeing that the rules are being violated. The thing that worries me is that a president who makes a decision which he knows he himself will not have to bear the consequences of, it's kind of dangerous where this is concerned. I mean, what you do, I wouldn't mind if in conjunction with Israel and other interested parties, maybe Saudi Arabia and others who may be interested in the region, a decision was taken that this is what would be done, and this is how the various countries around would respond in order to secure themselves, and that the president, whoever's taking the decision on behalf of the U.S. government, knows that they're going to have to be there in 3, 6, 9 months, 12 months' time in order to help clean up whatever mess might result, then it would give me more of a sense of comfort than this situation, where potentially the president attacks 10 weeks later, 9 weeks later, he's gone. And everybody else is left to deal with the after effects.
Mm. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 0618951019. Let's just talk about the Corona Cabinet, because yesterday they decided to take further steps towards opening more schools, school classes and outdoor malls. Does the data back this up for them?
Not really. And that's the strange thing, because people are still very much talking openly about when the next lockdown is coming. And while we're already talking about the lockdown, let's do a bit of opening up. And so I saw yesterday that the number of new infections over a one-day period went up quite a bit since the previous days. Now, yesterday's number I saw hit almost 1,000 new active cases, new people diagnosed, whereas in the months before that, or in the weeks and the months during the period of the lockdown, there was quite significant control over the number of new cases, mostly hovering around the 500, 600, 700 mark. And now all of a sudden that big jump to 1,000, and on the same day announcing that we're taking the next step forward to open things up. In order to justify this, the government did quote some of the statistics that are going on at the current schools that have been reopened, because as we know, kindergartens have been reopened and grades 1 and 2 have already returned to school, already returned some weeks ago to school. The latest decision yesterday will allow grades 5 and 6 now a return to school, at least on a part-time basis. Also there is talk about, the fact that the first and second grades have been in school for some time will now no longer need to learn in capsules, which is what they've been doing up until now. And also talk about grades 11 and 12 going back to frontal learning at school, perhaps a week later. And in order to support this, the government wheeled out statistics that said that only 237 kindergarten children out of over 500,000 were actually diagnosed with corona, which is about 3% of the current number of patients in Israel. And out of the more than 1 million elementary school students, only 573 were diagnosed with coronavirus. So very, very few students, they're saying, within the learning system, within Israel's education system, and teachers who have been infected as a result of this reopening, and therefore let's reopen some more. 17 schools apparently out of 5,000 and 180 kindergartens out of 21,000 were actually closed down since they were reopened because of infections at those schools. So therefore, the idea is to open up some more. On the one hand, I do understand them. I mean, there is a real imperative to try to get children back to school, to get their parents back to work, to get a little bit more normality, a usuality back to our lifestyle. But I'm a little bit concerned now with this huge jump that we saw over the last day or two, that this might precipitate a further jump. We do know that 11th and 12th grade students behave differently than the first and the second graders or the kindergarten kids. And my expectation is that high school children are probably more likely to be a source of infection than the really younger children. So I'm not sure how this is all going to pan out. But also, in addition to that, and the so-called strip malls, outdoor malls, will also be opening up. Not indoor malls quite yet, but there is also a plan to gradually reopen indoor malls. So definitely a step forward in trying to move the economy onto a better footing, to try to get people also psychologically back to what they're used to doing. Interestingly, the health minister, Yulia Edelstein, did actually vote in favor of the plan at the cabinet meeting, even though up until now he has been very much opposed to too much opening up. And he had set some standards which he felt needed to be adhered to in terms of the so-called R rate, the reproduction rate. He hadn't really adhered to those standards, even though he did vote in favor of this particular measure that's been taken now by the government. So next week schools will go back for the third and fourth graders, at least on a part-time basis. Not the third and the fourth, the fifth and the sixth graders. I apologize. Next week, and thereafter, the 11th and 12th graders, probably like a week later. Also, all of these provisions apply only to green and yellow cities. So any of the cities that happen to be in a red category because of the number of infections there, none of these new provisions apply to them at all. Only green and yellow cities, and there still continues to be a measurement of which cities are green and yellow according to the number of infections that have been diagnosed in those cities. So we'll have to keep a careful eye on. People are still thinking that come Hanukkah in a month's time, we're going back to lockdown. So that still has not, that idea still doesn't seem to have disappeared.
Yeah, but there has been some development around around the Moderna vaccine. Tell us about that. Well, I'm sure that is impacting on it.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke yesterday about the Pfizer vaccine and that Israel's shelled out a lot of money in order to secure the possible right to get to buy the Pfizer vaccine. And lo and behold, yesterday, Moderna also made an announcement. Moderna is this company that actually, as far as I know, hasn't actually produced anything up until now, but has been doing massive amounts of research and development and seemed to be very, very well positioned with all the research and development that they had done previously, of course, unrelated to corona, but because it has some relevance to the corona vaccine, they immediately stepped into gear in order to try to produce a corona vaccine. Mm. And lo and behold, yesterday they announced that their vaccine to try to outdo the Pfizer 90% effectivity is 94% effective, according to what Moderna said yesterday. And of course, this sent the capital markets into a spin as well. But I think what's interesting for us about Moderna is that the chief medical officer at Moderna is an Israeli by the name of Dr. Tal Zaks. He was educated at Ben Gurion University in Beersheba, and he has announced, or he's made public, the fact that Israel apparently signed an agreement with Moderna already some time ago, and Israel has been a very much a supporter of Moderna and its efforts, not only to produce Corona, but in fact Moderna's efforts more generally. And so as a result of that, Moderna is looking very, very favorably upon Israel in terms of being one of the first countries to receive the vaccine when it eventually becomes available. And there is talk about this vaccine becoming available as soon as early of next year, early 2021. Apparently, they will be meeting with the FDA, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, to get their authorization. They will be meeting with them in the next week or two in order to try to get the FDA approval. FDA approval is generally considered to be kind of the base standard for things like this, because the FDA does require certain testing standards and certain checks and balances to be in place. And so generally speaking, countries like to have the FDA approval before they would buy medication, and that will certainly be true of this vaccine. And so it seems that Israel is putting its hands not only on those Pfizer vaccinations, which we spoke about, which potentially could vaccinate 4 million people, but now this Moderna one, which I think is going to be only a single vaccination and also doesn't need minus 80 degrees of storage. Apparently, they only need minus 20 degrees. So that makes a huge difference in terms of being able to store it. And apparently, you can even store it in an ordinary fridge, the Moderna vaccine, for a period of up to a month. So that'll make things a lot easier to get out to the general population and to transport around Israel. And so we will be watching carefully to see how this one transpires. There was also some rumbling yesterday from AstraZeneca. So slowly but surely, companies are now coming out with their announcements. And from what I can gather, Israel seems to be putting its eggs in quite a number of baskets, not necessarily banking on the 800 million shekels that's been spent with Pfizer, but also looking at Moderna and potentially others as well. So somehow,
which makes sense.
We will get some vaccine during the course of the next 12 months.
Let's hope that is the case. And I think it's the right policy to look at different vaccines. It is possible, and I know that I've spoken to Dr. Anton Marburg about this a number of times, that certain areas and certain population groups might be better, and certain countries might be better suited to one vaccine over another. And I think that it does make sense to hedge your bets in that way before actually fully understanding which works best for that particular population or country.
I think we've still got a lot to learn about whether there are mutations and whether we're going to need multiple vaccines or whether one vaccine's enough. I mean, we're now going into our winter season and there's a shortage of flu vaccinations, and only certain sectors of the population are being allowed to be vaccinated because of this massive shortage. Is that going to happen with Corona as well? We're going to have this annual vaccination against new mutations and new developments. It's all going to come out, I suppose, in due course. We have to learn all about still.
We do. It was announced yesterday that Israel will have a second astronaut by the end of 2021. What do we know about the new Israeli astronaut?
Well, fascinatingly enough, the second, the person who signed up to become Israel's second astronaut after Ilan Ramon was tragically killed in that disaster back in 2003 when he was on the space shuttle. People may remember that. That was Israel's first and tragic astronaut. But now we have Eitan Shtiba. He is, interestingly enough, 62 years old, which is not what you would expect for a first-time astronaut. He's a former fighter pilot and apparently has been a close friend of – was a close friend of the late Ilan Ramon and his family, his late wife Rona, and members of their family. And he, I'm told, is actually funding himself. He apparently has enough the finances to be able to pay for himself. He's not an official representative of the Israeli Air Force as Ilan Ramon was, but in fact he will be representing the State of Israel, even though he's doing a lot of this off his own back and with the support of the Ilan and Rona Ramon Foundation. He apparently is due to blast off towards the end of next year towards the International Space Station to be spending something like 8 or 9 days conducting all kinds of experiments relating to Israeli technology that's already being developed right now to be ready for Eitan when eventually he blasts off next year. And he will, of course, have to go through intensive training between now and then in order to get there. But he was hosted yesterday by Israeli President Ruvi Rivlin, who, of course, wished him Godspeed on his trip when eventually he gets there. And there's still some time to go.
Look, they need to hurry up. I mean, he's not a spring chicken. Leslie says, though, he's actually quite cute as well. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Well, that would be Leslie's comment. That's exactly what I would expect from Leslie. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, he'll be in Florida next year towards the end of the year, Leslie, if you're interested to catch up with him. People might have been watching yesterday the Crew Dragon blast off from Florida again towards the International Space Station. Fascinating SpaceX technology going on there. And hopefully Eitan Stieber will be Israel's next astronaut who will be able to take advantage of that.
I just wish I was more interested in space. I just can't. I don't know why. It leaves me completely cold. And I know that it's meant to be the new, the final frontier, everything exciting, exploring new worlds. I find this world so fascinating that I'm just not drawn to this. And I know I'm quite alone in this. But because most people do absolutely love this whole concept of new frontiers in space, I just am not one of them. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow morning.